It's 6 a.m. The alarm clock on my iPad mini goes off. While I am grateful for this gift from my Somerset Patriot family, I knew the alarm clock on my iPad mini is not its primary intended use, so I want to punch it. I think better of it, and I don't. I do the next best thing. I hit snooze twice in the next 10 minutes. As I begin to awake, I hear Coach Tanner's voice in my head. Off your ass and on your feet. Gotta get up so we can eat. I oblige. As I begin to put my right foot on the ground, I see the north end of a scar going all the way up to my hip. This was product of a 1984 and 1988 hip osteotomy surgery, in which my doctor, Harold M. Dick, inserted 2 metal rods in both my hips in the effort that I'd walk less knock-kneed. I put my left leg on the ground. I stand up. My knees kiss together for the first of many times that day. I look down, say to them, "Boy, you boys have really gotten to know each other well the last bunch of years." CP, cerebral palsy, is a relentless son of a bitch. Captive of my body, this thing has got me. Sitting here in this chair, so begins the unfair. Thought so by some, blind, deaf, and dumb. Did he hear that sound? How is he getting around? Listen, my crossed eyes gave me x-ray vision in disguise. From my first ectomy to my last otomy, my scars are my gift. A rounded silhouette of man his limbs belie. It swears spasticity meets elasticity. My scars are my gift. I begin to walk to the bathroom to shower. I pick up each foot just high enough so I don't trip and fall flat on my face. Each step carries with it a memory. This time, it's 2 days post-osteotomy surgery. And Dr. Harold M. Dick says, "Fox, it's time for you to put weight on your feet." With my dad holding me up from behind, I take my first steps post-surgery. While it is hard to describe the pain that came with each step, it's impossible to describe the euphoria of walking again. I go in the bathroom and slowly climb into the shower, holding on to things more than tightly because I'm jacked up enough, I joke to myself. I want to keep these teeth. I bathe. I bathe and I see all my scars. Reminders. Heel cord extension. Hamstring transfer. Left testicle removal. Osteotomy. Chest tube. I get out of the shower the same way I got in. Carefully. Holding on to things more than gently because I want to keep my teeth. I towel off and groom myself. And the last thing I do before I leave the bathroom as I put my contact lenses in my eyes. And I'm reminded that I cannot focus on one object with both eyes at the same time. A product of being cross-eyed at birth, many eye surgeries, and playing baseball at grandma's house. I step back. I look at myself in the mirror, and I say, "It's 6:30 in the a.m., and the snooze has become my friend. Soon I see myself in the mirror." He looks back at me and says, "Have you done all you can do? Are you ready for what is to come? Are you thankful for all you have been given? As would say, decent son, do you realize the responsibility that comes with the pleasure of success? You must be a man of integrity to always be at your best. No matter there are no cameras and that you are alone under this roof, you can hide sometimes from the outside world, but I always see the truth." I walk back to my bedroom to get dressed. Again, picking up my feet just enough so I don't fall flat on my face. Each step carries with it a memory. This time, it's the sound a morphine machine makes, injecting morphine goodness into my sliced and broken body after my 1990 hamstring transfer surgery. I go to get dressed. As a general rule, this takes me 4 times as long as it does the average bear. No big deal. The hardest part, however, is putting on and tying my shoes. I do this with my left foot with some problems. The right foot, however, is much harder. I begin to do this when I look to my right, out to the parking lot, and I see my neighbor bend down, tie his shoe in 2 seconds flat, and then get into his car. I sigh. I look to my left. I can picture my mother telling me as a 6-year-old, "Fox, you have CP, you walk funny, that's it, get over it." Blunt, but she has a point. I can't help but think in this moment the millions of people who have it harder than I do for millions of reasons. I am reminded of Andre, who was my roommate in 1990 when I was in rehab for my latest surgery. At 21 years old, Andre was given a motorcycle for his birthday. Soon thereafter, he took it out for a spin without a helmet on. It slipped on some wet leaves, and the first thing that hit was Andre's head. Andre stands in front of me in rehab without any access to his long-term or short-term memory and is prone to violent mood swings. For example, one day, he's all lovey-dovey, kissing and hugging on his mom the entire day. The next day, he asks me who this bitch is trying to enter the room and launches into many profane tirades directed her way. There was Jerry, who at 16 years old got on his bicycle to get groceries for his mother when he was hit by a drunk cab driver. Like Andre, Jerry has lost access to his long-term and short-term memory and is prone to violent mood swings. So yeah, I think I can tie my right shoe. I do this. I stand up. I stare forward. I think about how many times perception of me is going to get mixed with reality. I'm reminded of the 7th grade, sitting in the boys' locker room after the entire class had been timed running around the track. A classmate of mine goes around, asking people's times, comparing theirs to his. He gets to me. I begin to say my time when he says, "Fox, you don't count." In this moment, I stand a little bit taller and say, "Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I'm frail, built like and nicknamed Scarecrow. Inside, what a lot do not know. I have been broken and welded so many times. I can't tell you this, no matter how hard I try. Misjudged book and misread cover. I'll tell you what lies under. My toes are curled. My body wants to go fetal. In my life, I have seen so many needles. I pick up my legs to run, you know, like kids do just for fun. But I've got to be careful because every step could lead to a tumble. This I can't forget. In front of my face, my eyes. Specks of ears they can't disguise. My pupils are never in sync, no matter how hard I try and think. But don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant." I grab my things and try to walk out the door. Each step carrying with it a memory. This time, it's 2 days post-hamstring transfer surgery in 1990. I'm laid out on my back in a hospital bed when my surgeon, Dr. Roy M. Nuzzo, walks in. He's dressed in plaid from head to toe and is doing all these weird coordination exercises like patting his head while rubbing his stomach. He asked me the following question. "Fox, how are you doing? You're making great progress." As he asks me this, my body, which is sliced up and broken from surgery, goes into spasm, and I feel like my entire body, along with my nose, hits the ceiling and comes back down more than gently. "Great," I say, "never been better." I have never told a bigger lie in my life. I walk out the door, and the first thing I have to do is go down a flight of stairs. And again, I can't help but think in this moment the millions of people that can't. There's Reggie, who was my roommate in 1990 as well. At 14 years old, Reggie stole a car. He crashed into a telephone pole and is now a paraplegic. there's Michael. At 15 years old, he walked into his parents' bedroom because he had a headache. He passed out. Michael had a brain aneurysm, and he lied in front of me then, at 15 years old, in a diaper, unable to move, unable to think. So yeah, I'll get down the stairs somehow. I hold on the rails to keep from flying. Man, you know I ain't lying. Sometimes I laugh to keep from crying. Every day I keep on fighting. Hips entangled, legs entangled, knees entangled, feet so entangled. I get into my car. Right leg first. This time I don't see any scars because they're covered with a pair of slacks. I begin to drive. Somewhere along the line to work, I make a left-hand turn. And when I do this, a baseball rolls out of a glove. That glove was given to me by Brandon Clausen, an ex-major league pitcher who gave it to me as a thank you for throwing batting practice to his Columbus Clipper teammates in 2007. I think about all the places that little white ball has taken me. Thousands of hours playing baseball in the backyard with my siblings. Thousands of hours throwing a ball off a school, off a wall, at a park, on a beach, in a street. Over 100 innings pitched in high school. A first pitch thrown out at Yankee Stadium in 1997. My left arm somehow got me to the University of South Carolina, where I spent 2 years as a team manager and 3 as a coach. In 2000 and 2002, we were SEC champions. In 2002, we made it all the way to the College World Series. Somehow, my left arm got me to be the coach, the bench coach, of the Somerset Patriots, where in 2008, 9, and 15, we were Atlantic League champions. I am so glad that throwing a baseball has nothing to do with how quickly I get dressed or put my shoes on. Good evening, arena sold out with doubters. I stand before you completely empowered. I'm so excited to hear the volume of silence coming from this room. Don't tell me I know your stance. I can't and I won't and I have no chance. It's you and me running the mile. All you see is your back, my back, and you're in denial. Running is over, it's time to wrestle. You're the alpha, and I'm nothing special. The whistle sounds, and we're on the mat. You're pinned in a half minute, so take that. You have the bat, and I have the ball. Double or nothing, and once and for all. This battle, it was not close. You thought me a loser, and you misdiagnosed. I pull into the parking lot. I drift off for a minute. I'm at the beach on a warm, sunny day. I wake up from a deep slumber, and I have to get up. And this time, no, it's not because the alarm clock on my iPad mini went off. I have to go pee. I look behind me. I see my parents' beach condo, a quarter mile away. I look in front of me. Just feet away sits the ocean. I stand up. My knees kiss together, and I think to myself, well, the whole world's a bathroom. I pull in and stop. I park. I get out. This time, left leg first. Each step carrying with it a memory. Step, you are idle no more. Step, pick yourself up off the floor. Step, get up out of your seat. Step, you will not lie there in defeat. Step, in mind and in body, a winning tranquility. Step, without movement, there is no possibility. Step, each pace equals a seed. Step, in the world's largest sequoia tree. Step, one by one, they'll amass. Step, Corfield passes down victory path.